You never know. You never know when you share the gospel with someone, you never know when it's going to bear fruit. Amen? You never know. What you're doing today, don't get discouraged. You're like, I have a friend, I'm trying to share the gospel, man. He hates God, or he's an atheist, or he claims that the Bible is full of errors, and he don't want to believe, or she doesn't want to come to church. Don't give up. You never know. It may be years down the road. Daniel didn't realize, but 500 years later, here comes this bunch looking for the King of the Jews.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Our Universal King by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Now we're in our series called Royal, and many of you have told me how much you enjoyed the series, especially you enjoyed my Disney illustrations. I didn't expect that. So I can't break the trend now. I have to bring up a Disney illustration again. How many of y'all remember watching Robin Hood growing up? Oh, great. I'm talking about the animated version of Robin Hood. How many of y'all? Okay, still about the same number. I love that movie. Anybody else love it? Yeah, some of y'all do. Yeah, favorite character, of course, you know, Robin Hood and the Sheriff of Nottingham. But the funniest one to me is this guy right here. And how many of y'all remember him? He is hilarious. Every time he gets paranoid or upset, he starts sucking his thumb. Kind of reminds me of some people I know. But his name is Prince John. He is the phony king who is posing, and he hates Robin Hood because Robin Hood and his band has robbed his royal coach, and so he finds every opportunity to kill him, but he can't, until the real king comes, who is King Richard. By the way, these were real people, but Richard comes to claim his throne. Now, what does that have to do with our message today? 2,000 years ago, a phony king was ruling Jerusalem. He was ruling Judea until Jesus came, the true king, came to claim his throne. In fact, his own failed to recognize him. And a group of men from the other side of the world came looking for the king, came to worship him. And this morning, we're going to try to understand how Jesus is not just the King of the Jews, he is the King of all people. Amen? He is the universal King. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Matthew chapter 2, very familiar passage, starting in verse 1. And let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, here's the phony king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king, the Prince John, when he heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You see, Herod thought he was the king of the Jews, but he was a false king. The question this morning before we pray is, who is the false king ruling your life? Who is that person? Who is that situation that is ruling your mind every night before you go to sleep? That person or that situation pops up. When you wake up, that's on your mind. You see, sometimes we have kings ruling over us. And this morning, if a false king is ruling your heart, it's time to dethrone him. Dethrone it and let Jesus Christ, the rightful king, sit on the throne of your heart. We're in our Christmas series called Royal. Repeatedly, the Bible portrays Jesus as our King. And as I mentioned to you before, it is hard for us to understand because we've never lived under a king or in a kingdom. We've lived in democracy or republic, and it's hard for us to understand that when we live under Christ as our King, we can't say no to Him. His rule is our, or His principles are our command. So this morning, as we get into this message again, we need to understand that Christ is our universal King. Now, for the benefit of those who haven't been here or you've been traveling, the first message in this series was Christ is our Creator King. Means He is more than just a little baby in the manger. He is the one who created everything and He sustains everything. The second message was Christ is our good King. Unlike David, his ancestor, who took advantage of a woman and had her husband killed, Jesus is the good King who never hurt anybody. He is righteous. He is perfect. Last weekend, we had snow and ice, so we had to cancel services. But the message was our humble King, and many of y'all joined us on social media and you heard the message. He is the humble King who came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. That was a symbol of Christ being the peaceful King, Christ being the humble King. And this morning, Christ is our universal King. There are three questions we're going to ask this passage to understand. What does that mean that Christ is our universal King? The first thing is, let's talk about who were the strangers. Who were those people who came? Listen again to verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now here's a problem. The word is not wise men, the word is Magi. Magi came. Now, who were the Magi? The Greek historian Herodotus tells us that the Magi were one of the six tribes of ancient Media. Now, where is Media? Media, if you notice, on the extreme right-hand corner of the map. These were people of a priestly caste. They were involved in all kinds of divination. Divination means interpreting dreams. So these are the kind of people who you would go to and say, hey, look, I had a bad dream. Can you tell me? And they will find some chicken livers and do some stuff. Some of y'all laughing too much. I don't know, y'all do that? Hope not. Or they will tell you, you know, looking at the flight pattern of the birds, this is what, or let me see your palm, and they would read it. This is what some of the Magi did. Some of them were astrologers, reading the stars. Some of them were astronomers. They were not just your typical palm readers. They knew the pattern of the movement of the stars. Some were sorcerers. They also took on the name of a sorcerer, of sorcerers. That's where we get the English word magic or magician. It's from magi. So these were people who were kind of odd. I grew up in India, and there's a kind of people known as the sadhus, and they have long hair. They're just a different kind of people. You don't get close to them. To me, magi sort of remind me of those people. They're kind of weird. I mean, how often would you like to bring someone to your home who practices voodoo? You know, it's like, no, we're good right here. If I have a dream problem, I'm going to call you. But no, we don't want people like that near us. But somehow, these magi had made their way into King Nebuchadnezzar's court. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And the first time we hear about them is in the book of Daniel. I want you to hear with me Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. There you go. They were there for the job. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command, listen to this, to call not the magicians, but the magi. The word is magi. And the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, these are people who specialized in dreams and dream interpretations. The king calls them in and says, I want you to tell me my dream and then give me the interpretation. And the magi kind of stood before him, wringing their hands, and said, King, we are experts in interpreting the dreams, but you got to give us the dream first. I want you to tell me the dream first and then give the interpretation. If not, listen to what he says in verse 9. If not, you make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. What do you think he's saying? Off with your head. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. He's putting them to the test. Nebuchadnezzar did not trust the Magi anymore. These were people who had earned a bad reputation. They were wise, they were very resourceful, but they were also very corrupt. Some of them, when Cyrus captured Babylon, many of them had come with him into Persia now. Persia became Babylon. And again, they got involved in political power and got into a lot of trouble for it. The Jewish people looked down with suspicion and disdain on the Magi. Even the Romans did not like them. They tried to kick him out of Rome and Italy several times. Get these Magi out of here. So I want you to picture with me a people. Some are really weird. Some are very intelligent. But either way, kings tolerate them. Most people do not trust them. They're known for sabotaging thrones and kingdoms. Somehow they got on God's mailing list. Somehow they knew that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was going to be born. They were on God's mailing list. What I'm trying to emphasize to you is that no one is too far from the grace of God. You are here this morning is by the grace of God. I think about my own self. My dad was a Muslim. Grew up in a wealthy home, but a Muslim home. Educated home, but a Muslim home. How in the world did it happen? Folks, I cannot give you a pattern. It's the hand of God. It's the grace of God. And I hope none of us take our salvation for granted. You are here by the grace of God. I want to tell you something that I hope will stay with you. Don't ever look down on anybody. Don't ever look down on anybody. Don't ever think that you are better than someone. Don't ever hold your family tree, your pedigree too high. Don't ever talk about those on the other side of the tracks. Be careful, because they may be on God's mailing list. Are y'all here with me? I want you to hear what Jesus said in Matthew 20:16. In fact, I want you to say it with me. What did Jesus say? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. If you think you're on the front of the line, God has a sense of humor. He'll say, get on back. And the person you think, they're unworthy, they're useless, they don't do any work, they sit on the porch and this and that, God's going to say, you come up over here, you're right up here. You think you deserve it, this person thinks he is undeserving. The more undeserving you are, the more God's grace is given to you. Y'all with me? You know, one reason we do the Kindle ministry is because we want to be in line with God's plan. God is working. God is working in powerful ways. And you never know that toy. It's not about toys. Everybody knows that, right? It's not about the toys. It's about the gospel that comes with the toy. It's the grace of God. Amen? Is the grace of God coming towards you? By the way, how do you think they got on God's mailing list? How did these magi, this motley crew of weirdos, how in the world did they hear that the Son of God was going to be born? Well, go back again to Daniel. Y'all remember in the book of Daniel, we'll read this passage in just a second, Belshazzar was in his drunken stupor, having a big party. He commands that the temple vessels be brought in, the Jerusalem temple vessels. And they bring, and he begins to drink in those vessels. I mean, it's debauchery is going on. And before he knows it, there's a hand that comes out and begins to write on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, o parsin. Parsin is Persia. Means before the night's over, your kingdom will be taken away from you. Belshazzar is scared. His knees begin to knock against each other. And then someone says to Belshazzar, Daniel 5 verse 11, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, they're talking to Belshazzar, your father, the king, made him, listen to this, chief of the, not magicians, but magi. Did you know that Daniel was head over all the magis, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers? Who do you think told him about Jesus Christ? More than likely, Daniel did. You never know. You never know when you share the gospel with someone, you never know when it's going to bear fruit. Amen? You never know. What you're doing today, don't get discouraged. You're like, I have a friend, I'm trying to share the gospel, man. He hates God, or he's an atheist, or he claims that the Bible is full of errors, and he don't want to believe, or she doesn't want to come to church. Don't give up. You never know. It may be years down the road. Daniel didn't realize, but 500 years later, here comes this bunch looking for the King of the Jews. Question this morning to you is, are you on God's mailing list? Are you telling the most unlikely people about the coming of Jesus Christ? You see, the strangers tell us that Jesus is the King, not just of the good boys and girls, but even of the undeserving, unworthy. But number two, what was the star? Listen to verse 2 again. They came saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. There have been a lot of speculation about what is this star. We don't know for sure. I personally think that God made a star just for the coming of Jesus Christ. That's my view. Y'all may disagree with me, but you have a right to be wrong. But I believe, that's why I make sure y'all are awake. I believe just the way God created the big fish that swallowed Jonah, God made this star. See, the problem is with the supernovas or the alignment of the planets or the comet, this star actually rose in the east, okay? And they followed the star, and then it came and stopped over Jerusalem. You say, can a star do that? Keep in mind, King Jesus made everything. The earth, the entire solar system, the galaxy, the universe belongs to him. If he wants to make a star that can move at his beck and call, he can do it. Amen? As his world. But the star moving, I've never heard of that. No one records it. Well, go back to the Old Testament. The people of Israel were led by a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. Nobody recorded it for 40 years. Y'all with me? Sometimes, folks, listen, the world cannot see what you and I can see. That was a very weak amen. Sometimes you're trying to convince the world of miracles, what God can do. They cannot see it because the star was not seen. I don't believe Herod saw the star. But these magi did. And it moved. Can stars move like that? Well, God has done things like that with celestial bodies. If you go to Joshua chapter 10, Joshua and the people of Israel were fighting against the Amorites, and the day was about to end. The sun was going down. Listen to what Joshua said in Joshua 10:12. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." What was the answer? So the sun stopped still, and the moon stopped till the people fought against their enemies. And now listen to the last line, verse 14. "And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." The point is, God can do that. Now, I know someone will say, the sun doesn't stop. You know, I mean, how can you do that? The earth is orbiting around the sun. Joshua was speaking in a language that his listeners would understand. The earth stopped in its orbit because God heard the voice of a man. There's another passage in the Bible where God did such a thing with a celestial body. It's in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 10. Hezekiah was asking for a sign, and Isaiah the prophet was there with him. And Hezekiah said, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and guess what happened? He brought the shadow 10 degrees backward. Can God do such things? If you believe in God and it's His universe, He can do anything. King Jesus is in charge. He made the world. He sustains the world. If He wants to create a star that moves across the sky and stops and moves again, that's His power. What does all that mean? It means this, folks. He is in charge. He is in control. He is the king of the universe. But the question today is He the king of your life? Is He in charge of your life? Does He have total control of every part of you? So, we looked at the Magi, the unlikely bunch. Then we saw the star, again subject to the universal king, King Jesus. Finally, I want us to focus on the gifts. Listen to Matthew chapter 2. Why the gifts? Why the gifts? Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "When they heard the king," to help you catch up, they come to King Herod, and they explain to him what they have seen. King Herod is afraid. He is troubled. And he calls his religious leaders, scribes, and he says, "Have you heard of this thing?" They say, "Oh yeah, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem." Now, I'm going to put a map up on the screen. The first map tells us that the people in Media, okay, the Magi's, traveled 700 miles to get to Jerusalem. That's a lot of miles. 700 miles. But they were willing to go across this Arabian desert. They were willing to endure hardships. They didn't have good reputation. And they were crossing through kingdoms, willing to go 700 miles. When they told Herod that they had seen this star, and he consulted his leaders, his wise men, they told him, "Oh yeah, in Bethlehem." How far was Bethlehem from Jerusalem? Anybody know? Only 7 miles. Only 7 miles. Now, I don't know about you, I would have gone on a camel and gone to see him. They didn't do it. You see, the Magi were motivated, but these men, Herod and the entire city of Jerusalem, did not even move. Just 7 miles between Jerusalem in Bethlehem. But guess what? Verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, a star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Once again, the star appears. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. What's the reaction? They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. What were the three gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, sometimes people talk about gold being his royalty, frankincense, divinity, and all that stuff. And that's fine. Personally, I believe they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh because they were going to see a newborn king. They were bringing gifts worthy of a king. They knew. And so they come in. I want to go back to verse 11 for a moment. And they fell down and worshipped him. They came with the expectation of finding the king of the Jews in a palace. But instead, where did they find him? In a little house, maybe a cave. Nonetheless, they fell down and they worshiped. I don't know if I would have done that. I'd be like, well, I don't know for sure if this is the real deal. But it didn't matter to them. They worshiped him. Another prophecy is in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 6. Listen to this. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries. What is a dromedary? It's a kind of a camel. All right, with only one hump. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. You've heard it all your life. It was not just three. More than likely, there was a whole caravan. Because the Bible says camels will cover the land. Can you just imagine? Probably 100, 150. All over the little town of Bethlehem. But they came and they gave it all. Would you have done that? If you had found this baby, supposedly the king, in a cave or in a tiny little house in an insignificant town, would you have given all that gold and all that frankincense and all that myrrh? Here's the final point. Sometimes we give what's left over. Sometimes we give what doesn't cost us much. Sometimes we give what hurts the least. When it comes to Jesus Christ, if He's truly your King, He deserves your best. He deserves all. And today, the question is Jesus Christ truly King of your life?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Jesus is the universal King. He doesn't belong to just one people or group, but He's truly the Lord of all, and He should be the Lord over our lives. Is Jesus your King? This Christmas, give your heart and your allegiance to King Jesus, and make the universal King the King of your heart. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.